Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you today. Holy Spirit, we ask you to teach us your word of truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John tells us that he came so that we may have life and have it abundantly. He also warned us that thieves would come to steal and kill and destroy, and to not count on hired hands because they would run away and leave the sheep at the first sight of a wolf. His clearly stated purpose was that he came so that his sheep may have life and have it abundantly, even at the cost of his life. Because, he said, that is what a good shepherd does. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So, did he succeed? Did he succeed in providing life and providing it abundantly? And if he did succeed with his plan to provide life and to provide it in abundance for us, let's ask ourselves, are we living in this abundance? As we think this through, we could also ask, did he leave a course of action? Is there a plan, a way for this to happen? A blueprint of sorts before us in the Word of God? Is there anything firm and decisive? A way in which this abundant life can become a reality in our lives? Well, now things get very, very interesting, or playing off of the Alice in Wonderland, curiouser and curiouser. Things really get interestinger and interestinger. In the Gospel of John, Christ speaks to the 12 as he prepares them for his departure. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." How could this be more perfect? Do you want the abundant life that Christ came to provide? Then follow Christ. Repeatedly, he called people to follow him, and that hasn't changed. He still calls us to follow him, but now he is saying, follow the Spirit, the Helper, the Spirit of truth. Or as the Apostle Paul puts it in our text this morning, walk by the Spirit. He gave us a plan, but he also gave us a person. It's tragic and ironic and sinful that many who claim to walk by the Spirit are actually living in open rebellion to God because they are not submitting to the biblical instruction. They approach the concept of the Spirit as something mysterious and subjective, following God on a whim, soft clay that they can fashion to fulfill their earthly desires, going to the Christian bookstore and buying a book on the latest trend on how to be blessed by God, or while you're there, picking up a bottle of holy water to sprinkle over your doorway, but all the while ignoring the necessary biblical instruction. Walking by the Spirit, as taught in the Bible, as a prescribed and a commanded course of action, is honoring our directive to teach sound doctrine. To prescribe means to provide clear, explicit, and authoritative direction or guidance to those who are supposed to follow it. To lay down as a guide, direction, or rule of action. To state authoritatively, or to state as an action or procedure that should be carried out. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Our text this morning tells us, very clearly tells us, to walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. This morning, I will point out a fork in the road. Walk by the Spirit, and you will be led by the Spirit, and the Spirit of God will produce his abundant fruit in your life. Do not walk by the Spirit, and you will walk according to your natural sinful desires, and your sin will be evident. You will be the baby walking around with the poopy diaper, as in you may be the only one in the room who doesn't smell the mess. The biblical instruction is very clear and plain to see. We do not live in the abundance that Christ promised to bring to us because we choose to disobey his word. We choose to serve ourselves and not serve one another. We choose slavery over freedom. We choose to lead our lives and not to be led by the Spirit of God. Walking by the Spirit is not some mysterious, subjective concept built on emotions and whims to fit our spiritual blueprint for happiness and fulfillment. No, the biblical instruction is clear and direct. And in the words of the Apostle Peter, we would do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Would you turn with me to Galatians 5:16? Galatians 5:16. Reading in Galatians 5:16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." First this morning, if we walk by the Spirit, then we will walk in the freedom for which Christ has set us free. If we walk by the Spirit, we will walk in the freedom for which Christ has set us free. And in fact, there is no other way to walk that honors God. So I said earlier, this perfect plan that he gave us, he gives us clear instruction, such as, don't use your opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We obey that. In obeying that, what is that? That is obeying God. It's walking by the Spirit. We looked at this morning, all Scripture is inspired. It's breathed out. These men, the Holy Spirit of God, brought the Word of God to them. So when we honor this Word, this breathed out Word, we are walking by the Spirit. When we do not honor this Word, when we disobey Him, specifically in our Galatians text, as we want to remain tethered to that, when we do not through love serve one another, then we are not honoring our God. And we will, no matter how your wonderful your religious intentions, your good intentions, your sin will become evident in these things that are listed in verses, 19 and 20. If you walk by the Spirit, you will walk in a way contrary to your natural human desires. And this is something we need to look at too when we talk about gratifying the desires of the flesh. See, flesh just in and of itself can just mean just being our humanness. Now we come to understand, and when we have it where it says the flesh, it's almost always, if not always, speaking of sinful flesh. But in and of itself, it just means as humans. So sometimes what we need to do to understand this, because we are sometimes the last ones to see the sin in our lives, we say, well, I'm just being human. Well, typically, just being human is more than likely being sinful human. Walking by the Spirit is opposed to picking our own direction, doing what we just think is human. It may be accepted in the rest of the world. It may be, there may be many, many good people who say this action is okay. But if you're not obeying God in His Word, you are walking now, instead of walking by the Spirit, and you're walking in opposition to our sinful nature. Now you're walking in your sinful nature in opposition to the Spirit of God. If you walk by the Spirit, you will walk in a way contrary to your natural human desires. And by the way, it's a lot better than the way that we would choose. See, we want to choose the way and have God bless the way. It doesn't work like that. God directs and He blesses us as we're on His way. Your natural desires will no longer be the source or the focal point of your pleasure and satisfaction. Walking by the Spirit shifts the focal point of your pleasure and satisfaction, because now the direction of your life opposes the self-centered, myopic, which is nearsighted, short-sighted, direction of the person who previously sought his or her gratification in the world. See, you are released from those things. You are released from dictating your course. God really does know best. Romans 8, 5, and 6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Let me stop there for a second. So what does that mean? That means if you're not walking by the Spirit, what I just read speaks to you. It's not to those other non-religious people. The category is we're walking by the Spirit or we're walking by the flesh. If you're walking in sin and rebellion as a believer, then this is where we find ourselves. Those who live according to the flesh, to the natural person, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Next, if you walk by the Spirit, then you will be led by the Spirit. That just makes sense, doesn't it? And well, how is that? How are we led by the Spirit? The breathed out, inspired Word of God. We obey God's Word. If you walk by the Spirit, then you will be led by the Spirit. And where are you led? You are led, for one, you are led in our text. Here you are led out from under the law. You are led out from under the burden of the law. Walking by the Spirit, you are now led by the Spirit, and you are out from under the unbearable, defeating psychological, mental, spiritual, and emotional burden of pleasing God and earning His acceptance by your morality. You are also out from under the burden of pleasing your peers with whatever they have contrived as an acceptable standard of morality. In other words, you are out from under the pressure of legalism in whatever form it has morphed into. Walking by the Spirit, you live your life before God, and there's nothing like it. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. When we follow Him, when we walk by the Spirit, Christ said, I'm sending a helper. I will come to you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, He will be there. We are still following Jesus Christ, although physically His presence is not on this earth. This is where His abundance is. If joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control are not sprouting in your life in the abundant way that only God can provide, you are not walking by the Spirit. You are not being led by the Spirit. Second, this morning, if we do not walk by the Spirit, then we will not be led by the Spirit, and we will live as slaves, and our sinful desires will be evident. You're the baby with the poopy diaper, that everybody is going like this and you're oblivious to it. So often it's the man in the mirror who hears the Word of God but doesn't do it and turns away and forgets what he looked at. He may have, or she may have had a moment of conviction about his or her rebellious spirit or grumbling or thoughts of sexual immorality or whatever it might have been. They may have had a moment of conviction, but it doesn't hold. It's not able to have its purifying effect because we don't live out the teaching that he's given us, and you turn away from that. And you go ahead and you choose your own course. You make your way the best you can. After all, you're a good person and you go to church every Sunday. You're not walking by the Spirit. You're walking by the flesh. And your sin will be evident. And it will be evident to the people around you. Obviously, it's evident to God. If you are following your sinful desires, your natural sinful desires and your behavior, your acts, your works, your deeds will expose you as a person who is serving himself. See, sometimes we can make it look like the most Christian thing or the most religious thing or such a good thing. But we're really serving ourselves, even our love. And we're going to look at that. You love someone because you want what you're going to get back from them. That's serving yourself. These things that are listed here, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife in the church. It's not, well, that's how it is because I've heard that. Well, that's just the way it is. No, it's sin. When we're fighting with each other, it's not just how things are. It's not just people being people. Well, it is people being people. It's sinful people being sinful people. It's sin. See, use these breathed out words. Let them be identifiers. So when it speaks to us, we're saying, yes, I'm not, there's something hasn't clicked. I've pretended. I've faked like I'm walking by the Spirit, but apparently I'm not because the Holy Spirit is showing me he's identifying these things in my life. Strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Here's a big one, rivalries. Rivalries in the church. And dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And some of us are going, whew, glad those last three came along to kind of wash away those others, because I haven't been drunk and I haven't been in an orgy lately, but the others, maybe that's what God needs to draw our attention to. Thirdly, this morning, by the way, I really appreciate now that the preaching time has been expanded to an hour, because I don't have to hurry. So anyway, it's not. So it's really not. So don't let that distract you. But if you walk by the Spirit, you will be led by the Spirit. The Spirit will produce his fruit in your life. Let's say that again. If you walk by the Spirit, you will be led by the Spirit. The Spirit will produce. Who's doing it? God is doing it. Who is telling us this will happen? God in his word. If you walk by the Spirit, you will be led by the Spirit. The Spirit will produce his fruit in your life. Will he produce it in abundance? Will you have some little, if we used a fruit tree, some little scrawny cherry that's deformed, maybe one or two here on the branches? Is that how God works? Or will we have? You see the correlation with Jesus saying, I came, and I came that they may have life, have it abundantly. Do you see the correlation with walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit? How does God do things? Is he generous and over the top, extreme in his abundance and loving care for us? So love, joy, peace. You know how to remember these? Love, joy, peace. Okay. And then another P. Patience, kindness, goodness, and then faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I don't memorize a lot of scripture. I have, I won't embarrass her, but someone memorizes a lot more scripture than I do. But I've determined, just think of these things as we're going through this. We'll be going through the fruit of the Spirit for at least 2 weeks, probably three. Just think, see these things, and we can think, well, if you don't see these things, well, I feel really bad. I don't see these things in my life. Well, here's how you can feel really good. Walk by the Spirit. Obey God's word. Lord, where am I disobeying you? Where am I leading my life and you're not leading my life? Because see, it's God doing it. It's his grace. It's his mercy. It's his plan. Follow his person, the helper, the Spirit of truth. He said, I won't leave you as orphans. You know, he could have just given us it's a really good plan, but God goes over the top when he carries something out. He will succeed in everything he does. He said, I'll not leave you as an orphan. I'll leave you the Spirit of God. Walk by the Spirit. You'll be led by the Spirit. He will produce his fruit in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is the work of God in your life and in my life. The fruit of the Spirit is not you trying really hard to be loving or reading a book about it or observing other people. Or here's the worst. What can I do that others will see that I do and they'll think I'm loving? You're on a dangerous track that many professing believers are on, that many religious people. What can I do that I will appear to be loving? What can I do that I will appear to be faithful and gentle and kind? What can I do to other people will think that I have peace? Such a dangerous track. Because, well, it only clicks, makes sense, because you're walking according, not by the Spirit, but according to your sinful nature. So none of those shenanigans should surprise us, should they? Since this fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, said it all in one breath, is the work of God, then we must allow God to define the terms. Will you agree with me on that? Since these are the fruit of God, then but that isn't what happens in the world. But guess what? It doesn't happen in the church. We take a biblical concept and we run with it. We put our own definition in. We must allow God to define the terms and establish his pattern and his priority. So first, beginning with love, and love is all we're going to go to cover today. It's just, there's just too much there in looking at the roots, the source, the whole big ball game of the love of God. There's too much. And it's the first thing that he mentioned. And like I said, I really don't know how, I'm not going to rush through the fruit of the Spirit. You know, Andy and JC are going to be here next week, but the next one's joy. Now, here's what you might do in between, a little bit of homework. You know, the love is the fruit of the Spirit, but you know, we're also commanded to love. Now, do you see how the relationship there? So then when you obey the command to love one another, and how many times love one another, we got in our Galatians text through love one another. So it's the fruit, and it's also commanded. Do you think then, you see what happens, and when you obey the command, what are you doing? You're walking by the Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? We know God's amazing, but he just keeps amazing us. And so then what happens is that he wants to produce much fruit, not eke out a little bit. And then just to give you, like I say, a little bit of homework, love, joy. What does Paul say in Philippians 4? He says, rejoice. And he says, and again I say, how many of these, I don't know that they all are. I didn't get that far. We've been gone a couple days. And then we've been resting up a little bit too from being gone a couple days. But he said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And what was that in the middle of? Had two women in the church fighting. I think I'll just move right on from that one. Now, what does that tell us so more seriously? Right in the midst of our stuff. See, we don't give up hope. It's back again to, I didn't plan on doing this. Joe, you can handle it. Hug. Well, I'll give you a hug too. This is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Isn't that something? How can we love Jesus Christ? Huh, maybe Paul wrote something in Galatians to us about that too. Through love, serve one another. the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus came that we may have life and might have it abundantly. We see Paul filling in some details, don't we? And it just perfectly meshes, because that's what the Word of God, the source of this love. Well, God. From beginning to end, it's all about God. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The character of God. God is love. 1 John 4:8 and 4:16. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. The commandment of God. Now, you're familiar with most of these. You've got these on your study sheet. I think all of them. Through love, serve one another. The great and first commandment. A new commandment I give you, you love one another. This is my commandment, these things I command you, that you love one another. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another, just as he has commanded us. A new commandment, but the one we had from the beginning, that we love one another. God's word. We talk about the consistency of it being written over close to 1,500 years. But the consistency to life, it's like, this is reality. These are eyes opened. When we're living these words, when we're obeying the scripture, when we are what? Walking by the Spirit, we will be led by the Spirit. What does John 3, it's 19, 20, 21, right in there. The one who does the words comes into the light. Not the one who memorizes, not the one who has reams, knows reams of theology, but the one who does the words is the one who comes into the light. The one who obeys God, who walks by the Spirit of God, who's led by the Spirit of God. Guess what? More and more light in our world. And our corrupt receivers, they get cleansed and purified. We look to Jesus Christ coming in, the one who has this hope in him, purifies himself even as he is pure. And you don't love Christ and you don't look forward to his coming like that if you're walking in disobedience. No, you're walking by the Spirit. He didn't leave us as orphans. He left the helper, the paraclete. He left the one who would guide us. And I know the specific teaching of that was for the apostles. And and I'm sure MacArthur will bring that out in that Sunday school class where he brought to remembrance so they would get the New Testament down in all of its accuracy that God intended. The nature, the basic quality and character of this love. 1 Corinthians 13:4, again on your study sheet. Love is patient. That doesn't just mean you're a pain in the neck. And I'll put up with you. It's the same word that we have the Galatians in Galatians 5:22. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. It's the same word. It's the word. Macrothumeo. It's the same word. Different variances of it in Galatians 5:22. In here, in 1 Corinthians 13:4, but it's also the same exact word, well, variations of the verb form, in James. And you've got this, I think, in your study sheet, James 5, verses 7 to 9, be patient, same word. Now, here's where we understand what this patience means, and it's something that it's a crowning jewel of a church who's growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let me read this to you. I think you'll see we're a rural community. We got farmers here. We're acquainted with farmers. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Being patient, same word, about it until it receives the early and the late rains. Who brings the early and the late rains? God does. You also be patient, same word. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Verse 9, do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. See, when you grumble, you don't have a right to grumble. It's sin. When you grumble, you're following your sinful nature. So the way to walk by the Spirit then is to confess your sin. The things aren't happening in the timing that I would want them to happen. It's a context here. You plant that seed and we're going along and things aren't going to happen according to our timing, but believe they will happen according to God's timing. And I can really struggle with this because I can see, it's like, oh my goodness. And it's like, no, you got to trust God. Make sure we're doing, make sure we're not using it for an out, but make sure we're doing what we should be doing. And then say, okay, God's the one who grows the crop. God's the one who'll bring the rain. Because if we obsess on it, if we try to push it, we will get out of step with the Spirit and we will grumble. Okay, but all's not lost. When you grumble, when you complain, don't justify it and rationalize it. Confess it as sin. So back to 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and kind. When you're not kind, you're sinning. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. When you're rude, it's sin. Does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. God's love is not wishy-washy. It's God. God is love, of course. It's going to rejoice completely with the truth, rejoice completely with his holiness and his righteousness. There's no winking at sin. There's no, I know this is my lifestyle. I know that it's opposed to God, but God's a God of grace, and you will hear that. And I had an example, and I chose not to use it. I didn't want to distract our minds. But you've heard it. I know this is not pleasing to God, but I'm going to do it anyway, because what are you doing? You're following your sinful nature. I have to do this for my happiness. Like God can't supply what he said he would supply. Next, the abundance of this love. This love is the abounding, overflowing love of God poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The beginning point for God's abundant love. Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is where you're going to step in. We're going to see we have access to grace. It's God's love, because now we have peace with him. We're justified. We're justified by believing. We're not justified by believing and doing something else. We've gone over that and over that, haven't we? No works. No works, no penance, no water baptism. We're justified by grace through faith alone, Christ alone. We have peace with God now. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame or does not disappoint. Some of your Bibles have. I like that better. Because God's love, this is how God does things, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. The fruit of the Spirit is love. This is the love it's talking about, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So the things that we endured here, the sufferings, and we've endured, we trusted Christ through that, the endurance and the character. We just don't go out and love. This is not something we can manufacture or even with the best intentions come up with our own. We follow God. We honor him through these sufferings. And what happens in his abundance, because that's how God does things. He pours these and it's filling to overflowing. We could also speak of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit. The process comes. The beginning point of this love is our justification by faith. We have obtained access to God's grace and standing in his grace. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What does that mean? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The source of our gratification now has dramatically, drastically changed from ourselves to God. We not only say the words glory to God, but now it's our burning passion to bring glory to God. The source of our gratification, our pleasure and satisfaction is the glory of God. Our pursuit of life is no longer found in the things of this world, but in the ultimate experience of the glory to God. This is why people can be burned at the stake and say, to the glory of God. It's why they could be lined up in a firing squad and say, to the glory of God. It's why they can receive the snide comment or the hateful glare or the rudeness in church. And they can bring that before God and they can bow back and they cannot repay evil for evil because they're saying it's all to the glory of God. The correlation, I think we see, of the abundant life Christ came to give us and walking by the Holy Spirit. And lastly this morning, lastly and very powerfully, the focus for Christ, on love for Christ in the stewardship of the shepherd. In this text, Jesus calls Simon Peter from the brokenness of his failed effort, to serve, to commission him to shepherd the flock of God. Peter was the early church leader. Let me just read the text, John 21:15-17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Listen to this. David Nienhuis writes this. John's gospel ends with an immeasurably important exchange between Jesus and Peter. Each of the synoptic gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Each of the synoptic gospel ends by leaving Peter's leadership in what can only be called a highly compromised position. Indeed, in all three, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, now listen to this, Peter's final recorded words in those three gospels, the final recorded words of Peter are, "I do not know the man." This is hardly an effective way of establishing him as leader of the apostles for the next chapter of the story of salvation. But John's ending resolves any possible problem by providing readers with an intimate portrayal of Jesus' reinstatement of Peter's primacy as the chief shepherd who will go on in Acts to feed and tend God's sheep. The burning focus of a pastor, of a shepherd, is our love for Jesus Christ. I hope you can see that in this text. Love as God defines it, not love as our little make-believe sentimental stuff, but love as God defines it. Because see, what love for Jesus Christ, it will be a purifying, refining fire. Because the one who loves Jesus Christ in that way will also follow in his example of being the good shepherd and laying down his life for the sheep. The one who loves Jesus Christ in that way will not want to be identified with groups who dishonor the gospel. He will not want to be identified with groups who dishonor the authority and inspiration of Scripture and the deity of Christ. He will love Christ enough to recognize the wolf in their midst, and to not run as a hired hand, but to love the body of Christ. You have an article in your notes, and it's like almost a complete blog post. It's on the inside. It's Stop Calling Everything Hate by Tim Challies. And he says this in your yellow box at the top, in so many ways, what is now described as hate is actually love. We guard against error, not because we hate people, but because we love the truth. And I would add, and because we love Jesus Christ above all, and mean to defend sound doctrine. We must be willing to love even when we are told it was hate, and it will happen. It has happened. We owe it to God and man to continue to love no matter how it is perceived, no matter how it is described. The only way to keep our eyesight clear is we love one another. We remember, above all, feeding sheep, tending sheep, caring for one another. Just let Jesus Christ keep asking you, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And anticipating that day when you're before Jesus Christ. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You truly loved me, didn't you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for Carrie and I being back home. Thank you for this fellowship here. Thank you for what the Lord God, the Almighty, can do in our midst as we walk by the Spirit. Pray that you would break down all the barriers, all the distractions. Pray that you would help us to see our sin and confess sin as sin, to understand the joy and the pleasure, the fruit that comes from obeying you, your word of truth, walking by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, filled by the Spirit of God. We praise you in Jesus' name, amen.